Good morning. Loneliness is not an easy topic for some. So I just wanted to know, let you know at the beginning that the sermon won't stop at loneliness, that we will focus on our hope and response as a community. But if you need, we have I know Adam's at the back. There's a chaplain there, and if you need, and they're out there if you would like prayer. We'll need to talk. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your love for us. And we ask that you would be with us now as we think about these topic and a community. And we ask for your spirit now to through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Christians often talk about being a community. However, living out a Christ-centered community is not so easy. We can easily overshoot or undershoot the runway, as Kate last week helpfully pointed out for us from 1 Thessalonians 5. We need a decent level of pragmatic optimism and God's help. This Sunday, we move forward into the term by thinking more about community. And the vision of this new series, Living in Community, is to visit some of the key dimensions to the community and to explore the different dimensions to say loneliness, marriage, singleness, and friendship. Obviously, there's a lot more dimensions to community than just those things. But this is a good start in understanding some of the key dimensions. We want to make things more interactive during this term. So near the end of the sermon, or the sermons as we have them over this term, there'll be a QR code and we'll have a Q&A service there where we'll hopefully cover and answer some of the questions that might arise from these topics as we go through them. Loneliness is now recognised as a growing problem in many Western countries. In fact, it's such a big problem in the UK and that the UK and Japan governments in recent years appointed a minister for loneliness. And people have called what we're going through a time a loneliness crisis or a loneliness epidemic. Ending Loneliness Together, a group, they're using social research based out of the University of Sydney, in 2023 found that almost one in three Australians feel lonely, with about one in six feeling loneliness often or always. Interestingly, young people and middle-aged people reported the highest levels of loneliness, and those too who are carers of others. The Young People Report in 2024, which can be found also on Ending Loneliness Together, says that while the use of social media doesn't help, those who are young have grown up with ever-decreasing opportunities for face-to-face interactions. And if you think about it, many aspects of our society can now be achieved without even talking to someone face-to-face, such as shopping, banking, and even interacting with friends. As I was growing up, I recall often experiencing loneliness. I was a fairly shy kid. In school, I often felt lonely and felt excluded, felt like I was not part of the cool people in the class. And particularly as I was a Christian, it was another reason, difference, that people put me to the outer. At church, which was a great place, I still felt loneliness at times. And so even in the midst of people, and especially in the middle of a room full of people, I would feel loneliness to such an internal distress and intensity that I would scan the room and then quickly exit rather than continue this distress inside. And I often felt that I was not noticed or valued and had nobody to talk to. And as even an emerging adult, I felt very lonely at times and yearned for meaningful relationships. So I tell you all that really just to say that I'm no stranger to loneliness. But what exactly is loneliness? Well, there are plenty of definitions, but let me offer you a couple. The one from Ending Loneliness Together has, loneliness is a subjective experience of distressing feelings that arise when there's a divergence between an individual's desired and actual social relationships. There's a gap in the desired state and the actual. Dr. Mark Mayfield, the book The Path Out of Loneliness, has this definition. It's the state of being unseen or unnoticed relationally, mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. It can be driven by a lack of meaning, relationship, identity, and is marked by a deep sense of hopelessness. At a basic level, loneliness is the distress that arises, the gap between the expected and actual in our social relationships. And it's often a definition that's often used. But I like Mark's definition because it fills it out. It raises our awareness of loneliness as something that can have layers. It is deeper and includes spiritual loneliness. It names loneliness arising out of not being seen, a lack of identity, and names the deep sense of hopelessness that can arise. So that all being said, loneliness is in many ways a normal experience. And while it can be distressing, at its core it's information. It's our body communicating that there's something we're missing or yearning for. And I believe it's more than a gap in our expectations. It's the light on the dashboard that brings to our attention something important. We need friendship because this is an outflow of who we are in God. Let me explain. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in perfect harmonic relationship, all equal, self-giving, mutual, and connected. And from this inner life of the Trinity, there is relationship and intimacy. God made humans in his own image, in this image of our triune God and identity. It's telling that after making and declaring creation good, and then making humans and declaring his work as very good, God put man into the Garden of Eden to take care of it and then said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, it'd be easy to focus here on this story as a basis for a basis of marriage, and that is right. But Adam will speak to us next week more about marriage, so I'll leave that there. But the reason the text is there is to say that it's significant that God is saying that it's not good for man to be alone, which is, in many ways, it's not good for humans to be alone. If our relationship with God was all there was to it, then God could have stopped at creating Adam. But God creates Eve. God doesn't merely create woman for the survival of the species or procreation or even because the perfect state is to be married. God creates humans to be in relationship with each other, reflecting the inner relationship within the Godhead. And we're not simply given other humans because we have a psychological need for it. but because relationships are part of God's greater design, and it's for our own redemption. Through our relationships and desire for deep connections with each other, we're drawn back to God. Last week, Kate talked about our relationships in Christian community as being a key means by which we are sanctified. But our relationships are a key means by which we are also saved. As C.S. Lewis writes, God has created universally for all people to be drawn to him by also being drawn to each other. I like this photo of the magnet because it gives us a picture of a magnet and also the magnetic shavings that are, in many ways, they're all involved in drawing each other in. God does not just want us to get along with each other and to be good. He wants friendship. Think of the great commandments to love God and to love our neighbor. Think of the great sweep of biblical teaching that calls us to meaningful relationships, and not only married relationships, but really all kinds of friendships. In God's creation, it's not good for anyone to be alone or an island. Humans are created as an outflow of the inner life of the Trinity for relationship and for God's glory and purposes, with the purpose of drawing all people to God and each other. And loneliness is a sign we are all image bearers. As Aaron Moniz puts it, both our ability and our need for intimacy and others is created by and from a God whose self contains everything necessary and important for us to have both relationships with him and each other. So God's vision for healthy intimacy looks like love expressed as vulnerable love, mutual love, so there's a mutual nature to it, and there's a self-giving nature. It's vulnerable, it's mutual, and it's self-giving, which stands in contrast to a world which often seeks individual autonomy, that seeks entitlement over responsibility for others, and productivity that commodifies even our relationships with each other. In many ways, it's like the world often says, well, what do I get out of the relationship? What do I get? But in God's vision for relationship, it is mutual, and there is self-giving from each party. I'm not against a world with digital interactions. However, the majority of digital tools that humans are creating are often being distorted by the value of individualism. By going online, we're often letting the depth of our friendships be mediated by companies that are interested in profit. And so I'm not surprised then to find as our digital life increases, the incidence of loneliness increases. But I digress. God's created design is that we're built for meaningful connection with others, and our loneliness can be an indication of our image bearing and God's purpose for us. So now I want to spend the remainder speaking to those who are experiencing loneliness, and also to those who don't feel lonely today, and then to all of us about digital connections. Well, first, for those experiencing loneliness. Perhaps you are feeling unseen in your life right now. And the big message that I wanted to give is really that I want to say that God sees you. God sees you. There are many situations in life when we feel overlooked or unseen, and it can be most distressing. In those times, it can be good to be reminded of Jesus' response to Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Zacchaeus is so unlikable. He's a tax collector for a foreign ruler, hated by the community around him, couldn't get close to what the main thing was happening to Jesus. He was short, so he climbed up a tree to see and hear Jesus. And Jesus, despite all the noise and commotion of the crowd, not only sees Zacchaeus, but invites him down to share a meal with him. He shouts out, "I must stay at your house today." Think of it for a moment, how huge this is. Jesus, God in the flesh, notices and associates with and befriends Zacchaeus, a person who everyone knows but doesn't love. And God is like that for you as well. He not only notices you, he wants to befriend you and stay where you are. God is deeply interested in you. We have a similar story recorded by another witness in John's Gospel. Jesus, a Jew, meets with and talks with a Samaritan woman. And he talks about deep and meaningful things. And this woman is so excited. She goes back, tells everyone in town to come and see a man who told her everything that she ever did. And the beautiful witness is that of Jesus seeing her. He went out of his way to talk with this woman at the well. And this discovery that it's the Messiah really is all mixed in with this fact that Jesus told her everything that she did, that Jesus knew her. In times of loneliness, I also like to be reminded of Psalm 139. And it was great to read some of those words before. It's great to let those words sink in, that this psalm is communicating God's intimate knowledge and love for us. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." The picture here is of a God who knows us and cares for each of us. And that is truth worth meditating on. Another dimension to loneliness is this, other than being feeling unseen, is this feeling of hopelessness. It's easy to lose hope when the people around us desert us. Remember the story about the Apostle Paul, who wrote in 2 Timothy 4 that Demas and everyone deserted him at this critical time. That would have been a crushing experience for him and a reason to lose hope. However, Paul writes, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." This in itself is a fulfillment of Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28:20. Where Jesus promises to be with his followers to the end of the age. And indeed, God's friendship is so genuine that every follower of Jesus is given God's Spirit inside of them. It may feel like a distant hope for those who feel the weight of loneliness now. However, we also know from Scripture that we have a future hope of Jesus' return and all things being made right. Revelation 21 paints it this way. "God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So we have this ultimate hope. But it's also worth cautioning us to say that our loneliness cannot always be erased by the right relationship or relationships. No one person can meet all those needs. And to expect that, I think that would be a false hope. But I still think it's good to treat frequent loneliness as something to seriously take notice of, whether that talking through that with a counsellor or a friend. And for some situations, that can help us lead to a place where we recognize that there may be wounds that are not healed and longings that are not met. But it's good to just keep in mind this ultimate hope that we have in God, that this won't stay as it is, that things will change, and that God has good things ahead. But for now, I want to say to everyone here who is feeling loneliness, you are valuable, and we see you. Whatever your situation, if your family situation is messy, or if you're still grieving a person in your life, or if you're lonely as you pour care for others in your life, that you matter to God and to us. And if you're tempted to withdraw when our church community fails you and doesn't care for you, I encourage you to have courage to speak to a leader at our church and recruit help. We are called as a community to share each other's burdens, and as a community, we want to look after each other. Now let me speak to those who may not be feeling lonely. They don't feel lonely today. As we covered before, we're designed to have relationships, and our relationships are what draws us closer to God and each other. In my life, I've felt acute loneliness, but my church community has been often a source of grace in my life. In my youth, I remember that my youth minister saw me and met with me to pray. I remember the group of friends who included me in their basketball team, even though I didn't know how to play basketball. And it was really affirming to be encouraged to take three-point shots, even though I missed most of the time. I was often invited out to pizza as a large friendship group. That is so important, to have those sort of wider friendship groups and being invited in. And I often grew in friendship as I talked to others in places like Bible study groups. I have felt loneliness, but as both a single person and as now a married person, church has often been a gospel lifeline in my life. Church is not always easy and certainly not perfect. However, I want to encourage us all to be a church that opens up the invitation to others on the fringe of your group. You know, our relationships are given to us not to be possessive like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, like, this is my precious Ringsy. But our relationships are given to us as places from which we can then extend gospel friendship to others. So that the purpose of our relationship is to embody the gospel to others. So I encourage you, if you don't feel lonely today, then include others. Don't assume that in a church with many people, that people are not lonely. Make time and space to get to know others in our church. Our loneliness affects all ages and does not discriminate. So use your resilience for others. And I know of someone who made such a difference that someone at their church said to them, they said, if you're feeling lonely when you walk in the door, you can always join my conversation. If you are lonely when you walk in the door, hey, you can join my conversation at any time. And it made a huge difference. It can make all the difference when a person who drives to church knows that there is a welcome at the door and that there is someone to talk to. So this is a shout out to all our welcomers. Thank you for welcoming and playing that role. And as a community, remember that there are certain points which can make a really big difference to someone feeling included and as part of the community. So that's for those who are feeling lonely and those who might not be feeling lonely today. Thirdly, a word for all of us living in a world with increasing digital interactions. The word community is often used for a lot of different things. However, I believe healthy communities and deeper relationships grow from face-to-face interactions. In all areas of society, we're rushing to digital interactions because we're told that it's the future. But I think it's one thing to outsource our maths to a calculator, but it's another to outsource our relational connections to a computer. The classic example of this is intending to stay connected to people by being friends on social media. However, the algorithms often won't let us know that other person has posted. You have to kind of go hunting to see whether or not they have. So beware of the curated feed. Face-to-face may feel like old school, but it would be wrong to undervalue the importance of it for human flourishing. I can receive a text from someone, but I often won't know whether or not they're crying or laughing. People often nowadays go on YouTube or ChatGPT to get help, for example, which can be really good, but it does cut down the relational aspects. And maybe I should call my dad and actually ask him whether or not he encountered that problem and does he have a solution to fix it. Sometimes our problems are the driver to grow in our relationships with others. So whether you're a parent or a caregiver or teacher or worker or whatever you are, be careful not to lose sight of the human need for deep connection and relationships. Make sure that our digital tools are just that, and they serve us and aid to deepen our relationships with others. And I should say, I think it's a good use of technology to have a live stream, but a live stream that has a pastoral aspect to it. And that's why, for those who are watching online, I think it's good to couple and to technology with the relational aspects to that as well. Now, I'm going to finish, but I want you just to take a minute or two to briefly share with the person next to you, just for a minute. If you don't know each other, then briefly introduce yourself and ask the question, in times when you have felt lonely, what has helped you feel better? And if you'd like to, you can also use the QR code to submit a question that'll be answered on the 21st of September. So in a minute or two, John will lead us in our next part, which is our prayers. So take it a minute or two, turn to the person next to you, and in those times when you may have felt lonely, what has helped you?